Yes, it's the words of Jesus. He's alive, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Right. It's an important message for us all. The problem with stuff. Right. I'm not pointing fingers at you. You just need to come and see our lot to realise we have problems with stuff. But the problem with stuff is they always want more, more, more. Well, I was going to read you the passage from what Jesus said in Luke 12. And let's have a look at that. Luke 12. Verse 13, where we start. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' And this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. And did I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. Right, well, let's have a look at this little passage as we go through it. Right, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It had nothing to do with what Jesus had been saying before. Jesus had been telling them the important things about how they were to live their lives and serve God, and telling the Pharisees and all that about the priorities that they should have had. And yet this guy bursts into the whole message that Jesus is giving and says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He hadn't been listening to a thing that Jesus said. And that's the problem for all of us, isn't it? You know, I've got two pictures here. The man's so occupied with this big issue in his head that he's not receiving the things that are good for him. He's preoccupied with stuff. "Tell my brother, I want this stuff." And I've shown you this little drawing here. This is a diagram of the church chapel attender's hat for the ladies. Right, it's a special hat. It's designed so that you can tie a string to your eyelid. It's got a lever there, so you can be absent in mind, but it looks like you're there. Right? That's exactly what's going on with this guy. He's not with Jesus. He's not listening at all. I'm sure you're all with it, aren't you? I mean, we're all with it. Good. Right, so, next please then. So he says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replies, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? What's going on here?" There's obviously been some family dispute, hasn't there? The older brother normally gets two shares, right? Maybe he wants it evenly, I don't know. Maybe he's got some already, or maybe he hasn't. Maybe his brother's holding on to everything. But there's a family dispute going on. And he wants Jesus to be the rabbi that decides the issue. And Jesus says, "I'm having nothing to do with it." Right? "I didn't come here to start sorting out your legal cases. Right? I'm telling you about far more important things than the stuff." Right? So he says, "You just be careful. I'm not here to be your judge in that respect. It's nothing to do with me." There's a great verse in Proverbs 26, verse 17. Says, "A person who meddles in an argument that's not their business is like someone who grabs a wild dog by the ears." You're going to get bitten. Right? Don't interfere. And the problem, and Jesus knew that, of course. What would have happened if Jesus had taken sides? He's going to be wrong with one of them, isn't he? Definitely. So, it's nothing to do with me on this issue, he says. "But I'm going to tell you something." Next thing, he says this. He said to them, I assume it was the two guys he's talking about, but it might be everybody else who can hear as well. He said to them, "Be, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Right? That's the key issue. That's the verse I want to share with you today. The second one is about our treasure. But that's one. Yeah, the key issue. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Got you this picture here. This man is completely swamped out with stuff. Right? And, well, sad. Jesus says, you know, there's more to life than having a lot of stuff. That's his basic line. There's more to life than having a load of stuff. Are you receiving me?
Yeah.
Right. We have a problem. Next, please. "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." But we think it does. Don't we? Do you? You do, you know. You might say not, but we do. I'm afraid so often. The advertisers are working you on all the time. "You won't be happy unless you get da-da-da-da-da-da." You remember the last one you got, which was the best thing since sliced bread, but now rubbish. Completely useless. What you really need is the latest, the fastest, the brightest, the bringiest. Yeah? "You won't be happy unless." The advertisers are working on you because we believe it. Well, at least they're trying to convince you of it anyway. Right? Yeah. What? Question. Yeah. What do you want compared to what do you need? That's the rub, isn't it? What you want may be quite different to what you need. You need a lot less than what you want. They're working on it. Man's life does consist in the abundance of his possessions, as far as we're concerned. Is that right, G? Right. So, we need to learn to think differently. There's nothing wrong with stuff when it's in its right place, right? But the danger is, it takes over. Right, and Jesus uses the illustration. So he told them a parable. Right, why did Jesus use parables? This is a completely different question, but why did Jesus use parables? It's the original super glue. What does super glue? It makes things stick. Right? And Jesus told stories because we remember stories. And the thought behind the story will stick better if you have it with a story package. Jesus knew about super glue before it was invented. Right? So, that's why he told the parable. So let's have a look at the parable. Remember the story. There he is. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" He's got it made, hasn't he? Right, he thinks so. This is your life, is it? It's your ambition to build up sufficient a pile so that you can now relax and enjoy it. That's what we're up to quite often, isn't it? I need some security for later in life, so I'll be able to enjoy my retirement, or whatever it is. Yeah? Okay? That's what he's thinking. He's got it made. And the danger is, you see, he thinks he's in control. Notice that. He says, what shall I do? What should he have done? He should have said thank you for a start. Right? He didn't grow it. God grew it. Right? And when he's got enough and more than enough, perhaps he can bless somebody else with it. But he's not thinking that way. Right? Because his life consists in the abundance of his possessions. The more the merrier. That right? Well, it doesn't work that way, yeah? He thinks he's in control. I did that song. Yeah? I did it my way. They have that at funerals, you know. Nothing, yeah? Absolute garbage. Yeah? It really is. I did it my way. If you hadn't been born where you were, and you hadn't been in the circumstances where you were, you wouldn't be doing it your way, you'd be doing it somewhere else. Right? You're not in charge. That's the problem. We think we are. Right? We're in control. Don't you believe it. As this guy's going to find out. Right? I've got it all sussed. Got it made. I've done this. It's sad, isn't it? You see human beings all the time. You know? They scrape, they scrape, they struggle. They don't enjoy the present because they're so worried about the future that when they get to the future, they're dog-beaten, dead, done for, so they can't enjoy it anyway. It's crazy. So here we are. There it is. Take and eat, lie, eat, drink and be merry. Notice he says, it's my barns, my grain, my stuff. Right? He's taking him over. Right? It's not his. What should be your attitude to all the stuff that you've got?
Like houses,
cars, all the stuff. What? Well, it's not necessarily. You may need it. You may need some of this stuff. Yeah? Yeah? You can't take it with you. It's not yours. It's on loan. Right? God's given it to you. And I've said this before. It's really amazing. Sometimes I sat in my back garden on a sunny day. The birds are singing. The grass is lovely. I'm enjoying a drink of juice or something like that. And I said to the Lord, I don't deserve this. And I really felt the Lord say, I know, but enjoy it. I've given it to you. Right? So, the stuff you thank God for, and realise it's not yours. He's given it to you to be good stewards of. And this guy has got more than enough, and he says, tell you what I'll do, I'll sort it out. I'll build bigger barns. Isn't that stupid? Right? I mean, he's going to all the expense of building a bigger barn, and he can fill up the one he's got, and then, you know, put an extra building on or something like that. I don't know. I'll give some away. Bless somebody else with it.
Get another
hard rock. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever he's got with all this stuff, right? It's all about him. Very sad. Right, so, and he then promises himself this. Take life. He's talking to himself. Right? Talking to his soul is the way it is in the original. His soul's not his either. Right? Take life easy. Eat, drink and be merry. That's the problem as well, of course. Right, you spend all the years slogging away, give yourself ulcers by the end of it, and you can't enjoy your food anyway. It's great, isn't it? How about, you know, what he's doing is, he's promising himself on the future, and he's not enjoying the present. Jesus says, I've come that you may have, I'm brother Shep, I've come that you may have life. And he doesn't mean next year, 3 years ahead, eternity. He means life now. Right? He could have said, wow, I'm so blessed right now. Thank you, Lord. It's great. You don't know what next year will bring.
No.
Right?
No.
So, eat, drink, and be merry. Think again. Next, please. But God said to him, you fool. Jesus tells you, don't call anybody a fool. Yeah, God can call them fools because he knows they are. Right? You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Put there. Game over. Just like that. Do you know? Your heartbeat is under God's control. When he says stop, you stop. Right? All the air that you breathe is God's air. Someone said, you know, God. You know, I think I'll start up my own world, and I'll build my own universe, and you know, I'll keep you out of it. And he says, well, how are you going to do that? He says, well, I'll get somebody. Hold on, he says. Make your own dirt. Right? It's all God's. We're over it. Right? Game over. Try again. Well, you can do that on the computer, but you can't do that with life. Right? One goal. One game. And it's not a game, of course. Right? It's a stupid game to play and one you can't win or repeat. He's got his stores in the wrong place. Just like that. And it's sad, isn't it? You see, I offer you this. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. None of us do. Love the Lord now, serve the Lord now, please the Lord now, and leave tomorrow after itself. Right? That's all you can do. That's all you've got is the present. To please and honour him in it, right? So, don't start to storing up treasures down here, because you're going to have to leave them all. Sorry about that. Right? That's how he's going to say. That's how it's going to be. This night your life will demand it, and then you'll get what you prepared for yourself. I don't want you to do it too often, but I recommend reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Right? Ecclesiastes is the account of King Solomon. How it was by the end of his life. I don't think it was written by Solomon. I think it's written in the sort of as if it was Solomon speaking. But Solomon had it all, didn't he? Power, influence, pleasures, everything. He had it all, and at the end of it all, he says, without God, waste of time and energy. And one of the things he says is, here you are, you strip, you scrape, you slog away to build up this great, fantastic supply of stuff, right? And then you go pocket clogs, and you leave it to somebody who's going to squander it all. What a waste! What a waste! Yeah? No, I find it interesting that some of our big multi-millionaires in business now have started to get the message. What's Bill Gates done with all his vast fortune? He's not left it to his kids.
Right?
He's set up a charity. He's fighting the mozzies, the mosquitoes and all that stuff, you know, malaria and so on. Yeah? Do some good with this stuff! Right, so, but he says, too late, next please. Right, then Jesus said to his disciples, so that's you and me as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. So what we're going to do is we're going round your house and have an inventory on the wardrobes. Right?
Mine's all left
for
charity.
It's all left for charity. Very good. That's good to know. You need clothes. These are all things. We need food, we need clothes, we need shelter. We need things, sure. Right? But do you need 10 of them? That's the question we're asking ourselves, right? Okay. For don't worry about your life. Well, you can have concerns, you can take care, right? But it's not about worrying, right? You see, life's not just about existing. It's not just about the biology of it. There's more to life than this. I read it was in the news last night on the website. It just caught my eye because I thought, that's a good illustration as well. There's a 23-year-old supermodel girl. I don't know her name. Yeah, she's just decided to give up modelling. Yeah, she wanted to get a life. Because she says I was put into the place where I was always being felt I had to please everybody. There's no time to enjoy or really enjoy the benefits and blessings of life. It was always pressure, right? And she's only 23. Well, she's seen the light at least. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, so we need stuff. But life is more than food, a body more than clothes. How many bags of fish and chips can you have in one go? Yeah? No, Kevin is looking smiling there. It looks enough, is it not? That's the point Jesus is saying. There's more to you than stuff. Praise the Lord for that. Next week, yes. Right. We're going twitching. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Well, there's a raven for you. Ravens are big birds, aren't they? Marvellous creatures. Very intelligent as well. Yeah. So here's a raven, and Jesus says, have a look at the ravens. How do the dumb creatures manage? Right? Well, they don't have their barns, they don't have their store, they don't know all that stuff. And yet God provides for them. Right? So who's dumber? The birds or we are? Right, that's the question, yes? So if God provides for them, what should we stop doing? We should stop sowing and reaping, shouldn't we?
No.
But what should you stop doing? He's worrying. It's not going to make any difference, dear friends. Huh? No. You do your work, you do your stuff, you make your plans, you do your preparations, all of that's great. Yeah? As human beings, we've got those abilities and God expects us to use them. Huh? But worrying's not going to solve anything.
No.
Right? But, so why do you worry? Why is worrying no good? You don't get anywhere. Right? Well, it gets you worse, actually. Yeah. I'm afraid.
It's very stressful.
Stressful. Yes, stressful. And the problem is, you see, that we think we've got to handle it all. We're doing our security bit again, yeah? We've got to handle it because, essentially, we don't think God is able to do it for us. He'd do it for somebody else, but for me, I've got to sort my own house. Take life easy. Build up your barns and all that sort of stuff, yeah? No good. Next week. Let's go to the fields. Look at this, eh? Beautiful meadow. This is real bling, yeah? Right? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labour or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Right? Now then, next time you go past the garden, right, or past the field with flowers, just stop for 1 second. And admire it and appreciate it. Yeah? Or just look at one of these little plants, you know? Just look at them. They are unbelievably fabulous. Right? Even those ugly little insects. If you get close up to them, you smell at them, you know? They're quite interesting. Right? So, he's saying is, they, you know, this field, the fields, the grass that's out there, what does God do to give the field some real bling is he puts these amazing flowers on them. You know? And he adorns the fields with all this beautiful stuff. Isn't God God's an artist, do you realise that? He knows how to do it right. So, you go along and you look at the fields, Jesus says, have a look, use your eyes! Just look at the fields, get the lesson from the fields. The fields are blessed there with all this stuff. And he says, Solomon, for all his wealth, for all his wisdom, just couldn't get the stuff that the fields have got. Right. So, why are you worrying? Right? And the fields are temporary, the grass. What did they do with the grass? They didn't have many trees growing around, so they gathered the grass together, bundled it up, and used it for fuel. So, basically saying is, God, if God cares for the natural world, the temporary, then, think of it. You're more important. God will care for you. Alright? You sure now? Right, so, next time you see the adverts, you know, you think, do I really need this stuff? Right, okay. So, he says, get some faith. You have little faith. Why? What's the problem? They're not trusting God. Faith's all about trust, friend. It's not about belief, in the sense that I believe God's out there and God's in charge. That's great. Right? Faith is about, actually, I believe God's out there and he cares about me. Right? It's a personal thing. Right, next then, please. So, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. There's the pagan world for you. What is it called? The rat race. You've got it. Right. so good. I like it, you know. Yeah. But I mean, it's funny, but it isn't. Yeah? You know, when you look, people are wearing themselves to a frazzle, damaging themselves, damaging each other, because they just, well, dear Paul Pilley told about one man in India who became a Christian. He says, all my life, I spent my life climbing up the ladder, treading on other people, stamping on them to get to the top. Only when I got to the top, I found the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. Yes! Right? Where are we heading? What's the direction? This is to know the world. So, he says, the world runs after such things. Of course they do. That's all they got. Yeah? You've got a father
who loves you.
So, no need to go getting all panicky about things, is there? Right? Then the pressure's on. How's your pressure doing, by the way?
Yeah.
Right, let's have a look. Yeah, I'm not diminishing. Life is very stressful, is it not? It can be, yes? But Jesus is trying to take some of the stress out because some of the stress is self-imposed. That's the problem. Right. And your father knows what you need, is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Do you know you've got a father?
Yeah.
That's the important thing, isn't it? If you know you've got a father, then you go to him, right? Okay. Your father knows what you need, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So Jesus is using sorts of images. He's a shepherd, he's a king, he's a father. He's wonderful, isn't he? All that you need, you can find in Jesus. Is there the better choice? Seek first the kingdom, and all these other things God puts in as well. Right? Yes? You get the packaging if you get the real content. Yeah, that's how it goes. There's a better choice. Father first, and necessaries from follow from our generous Father, God gives. The necessaries, not the wants. Yeah, the necessaries. Next one, please. So, here's a good one. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasure magnetism, I've called it. Yeah? What stuff has got hold of your heart? My heart, yeah? There's a magnetism in stuff. Treasure we count as valuable. I'll just ask you this question. I'm not wishing it on you, but supposing your house burned down tomorrow and you got the chance to take something out of the house, what would you take out first?
I don't know.
You don't know?
The wife.
Take the wife out, yeah. The people. Right. Followed by, my guess would be, perhaps photographs. The memory stuff. Possibly. Oh, just get out. Let it burn, that's all right, yeah. Okay. No, but there's a challenge, isn't it? The stuff that, you know, drags your heart, right? So Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. That means we all should be selling up then, is that right? That wasn't Luke. The early Christians didn't do that. The early Christians, you read them in Acts, some that had a bumper harvest thought, wow, I've got so much, I want to bless somebody with this, you know. So they sold some stuff and used it for helping the needy. Great. That's what it's about. Jesus is saying, let the chains off your hearts, really. That's the point. Let's set your heart free from stuff. Okay, so sell what you've got, give it away, yeah, use it. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Where's your treasure? To get lasting treasure, use the stuff you have for good. That's what it's about. To get lasting treasure, the stuff that's going to last beyond the now. You've heard, haven't you, yes? About the man that went to heaven. He was told he was going to die, and he was warned about that. And he says, well, can I take anything with me? Well, it's not usual. It's not usual. He says, well, can I have a special option? So he got all his, went to the bank, got it out in gold bars, what he got, and put it in a bag, and the next day the angel comes to take him away, and he stands at heaven's gate with his bag, and he says, what you brought there? He says, oh, I just brought some stuff from earth. Right? He says, well, I've got to have a look. I can't let you in without having a look. So he opened the box. There are all these gold bars, and the angel at the gate says, why have you brought paving blocks
here? There's gold up there.
Yes. Right. Give you another very sad example. This is true, this. In the Middle Ages, on a galleon, Spanish galleon, there was an attack, and I don't know if it was an attack, but it was sinking fast. And so, one of the guys, what did he do? He went to his treasure chest, filled his pockets full of gold, and jumped over. Going down faster, didn't it? Stupid man. Right. So your treasure, it can be a magnet. So our Lord is saying, you want a lasting stuff. Use what you've got. Enjoy what you've got. Thank God for what you've got. And don't be worried about the more thing. Use what you've got. Be blessed by that. If God puts some more in, thank Him for it. You know, the danger is the more you have, the more you worry about. Right.
I'm just looking out there.
Yeah?
And, you know, whatever's going on in the world, at bad times, the blossoms and the rest still come right. In different colours.
Yes.
It looks beautiful.
Wonderful. Enjoy the present that God has given you. That's the gift of life that Jesus comes to bring. To be able to enjoy Him and then enjoy what He's provided. Right. Okay, next please. The last one I think it is. So, what is your treasure? That's the question. What's your treasure? Right. Think about that one. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. Right. Make sure it's Jesus, eh? If He's your treasure, then all the other stuff comes in its right place. Right. Future's guaranteed. Your present is suddenly the light's up. Right? Doesn't make all the problems disappear. No, it doesn't. You'll face issues and challenges. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. Yeah? That was a prophecy. You found that one's true, have you? Right? The second half is, but take heart. Be cheer. I've overcome the world. Right? So our Lord is our treasure. And if you've got nothing, but you've got Jesus, that's what counts. Let's pray, shall we? And we're going to sing a song that follows on from that. Thank you, Lord, that you come into our lives, that we can be born again by your Holy Spirit, that we can ask you to forgive us for our sins and receive life and peace and hope. But Lord, as you told your disciples, there's a great danger for us, Lord. Things can get in the way. Things can take over, Lord. Forgive us. Lord, the things that they promise never deliver. Lord, we come to you. What you promise, Lord, you make good on. So we thank you. Pray, Lord, I pray for all of us. May our treasure be you, Lord, and in you. And Lord, in that, we'll use the many things that we've been blessed with and we have, Lord. We are fabulously rich in so many ways compared to some parts of the world where our brothers and sisters are struggling. Lord, may we use the things that you've given us in a wise and right way, Lord. We're stewards. It's not my barn, my stores, my stuff, but Lord, what you've given us to make good use of and to enjoy, Lord, as we do it in the right way. Thank you, Father, and bless you for your love for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.